الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه، أما بعد، تتمية لحديث ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما، وفي الرواية الثانية قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. قال الشارح حفظه الله الشيخ صالح الفوزان: فيكون قريبا من الله في جميع أحواله، في حال رخائك وعدم حاجتك لا تلتفت عن الله جل وعلا، كن قريبا من الله بطاعته وترك معصيته. قال تعالى: كلا إن الإنسان ليطغى أن رآه استغنى. فإذا استغنى الإنسان نسي الله عز وجل، وظن أنه ليس بحاجة إلى الله، فإذا مرض لجأ إلى الله، وإذا صح وشفي نسي الله عز وجل، فهذه حالة سيئة تدل على ضعف الإيمان. فقوله يعرفك في الشدة يعني إذا وقعت في خطر وفي شدة وأنت مطيع لله في حالة الرخاء، فإن الله ينقذك بأعمالك الصالحة. مثل حديث أصحاب الصخرة الذين انطبقت عليهم الصخرة في الغار ولم يستطيعوا الخروج، لما كانت لهم أعمال صالحة سابقة فرج الله عنهم، فهذا توسل إلى الله ببره بوالديه، وهذا توسل إلى الله جل وعلا بتركه الزنا خوفا من الله، وهذا توسل إلى الله بأمانته وحفظه لأجرة الأجير الذي ترك أجرته عنده وذهب، حفظها له ونماها، فلما جاء أعطاه إياها ففرج الله عنهم. والله جل وعلا يقول عن أصحاب الجنة: إنهم كانوا قبل ذلك، أي في الدنيا، محسنين، كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون، وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون، وفي أموالهم حق للسائل والمحروم. قبل ذلك وهم في الدنيا، وقال الله جل وعلا في يونس عليه السلام صاحب الحوت: فلولا أنه كان من المسبحين، يعني كان من المصلين في حالة الرخاء، للبث في بطنه إلى يوم يبعثون. أنجاه الله بسبب أعماله الصالحة التي أسبقها. فالمسلم يعرف الله جل وعلا في الشدة والرخاء، أما الكافر فلا يعرف الله إلا في حالة الشدة. قال تعالى: وإذا مسكم الضر في البحر ضل من تدعون إلا إياه فلما نجاكم إلى البر أعرضتم. إذا وقع الكافر في الخطر، إذا وقع الكفار في الخطر، أخلصوا الدعاء لله عز وجل. أما المؤمن فهو يعرف الله في كل الأحوال، في حال رخائه وفي حال شدته. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: واعلم أن النصر مع الصبر. الإنسان يبتلى في هذه الحياة فتعرض له آلام ومشاق ومكاره، ولكن عليه بالصبر، لأن الشدائد تزول ولا تدوم، فيقابل الشدائد بالصبر عليها حتى يزيلها الله عنه، ولا يجزع ولا يسخط. أما إذا جزع الإنسان وسخط فإن الله يخذله. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: وإن الفرج مع الكرب. كلما اشتد الكرب تطلع إلى الفرج، ذلك أن فرج الله قريب. والله جل وعلا يقول: فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا. وقال سبحانه: حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله، ألا إن نصر الله قريب. فإذا اشتد الأمر فاعلم أن فرج الله قريب، ولا تيأس ولا تقنط من رحمة الله. وقد خرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم مسرورا فرحا وهو يضحك ويقول: لن يغلب عسر يسرين، لن يغلب عسر يسرين، فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا. العسر مرة واحدة، لأنه معرف بالألف واللام، فهو عسر واحد، واليسر منكر مكرر مرتين يقتضي التكرار، فكل عسر معه يسران، وهذا من فضل الله سبحانه وتعالى. فدل ذلك على أن الإنسان ينبغي له ألا يضيق به الأمر أبدا، ولا يقنط من رحمة الله، وأن يتوقع الخير من الله دائما وأبدا. وليس هناك أحد في هذه الدنيا سالم، بل لا بد أن يحصل عليه شيء من البلاء، فإن أشد الناس بلاء الأنبياء ثم الأمثل فالأمثل، فعليه أن يقابل هذه الأمور بالصبر، فإن النصر مع الصبر، والفرج مع الكرب، والعسر يصبر عليه بانتظار اليسر من الله سبحانه وتعالى. فهو سبحانه لا يترك عبده أبدا، ولكنه يبتليه ليظهر صبره وتحمله وإيمانه بالله عز وجل. فهذا حديث عظيم ووصايا عظيمة وصى بها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الأمة بواسطة هذا الغلام المبارك.
الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه. سمعنا بقية الحديث الجليل، حديث ابن عباس الذي ابتدأه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بقوله للغلام احفظ الله يحفظك، وهي وصية عامة لجميع المكلفين من عالم الإنس والجن ذكورا وإناثا. فقد يأتي السبب خاص ويكون التكليف عام لجميع الأمة. وجاء في هذه الرواية احفظ الله تجده أمامك، تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء، يعني كيف الشدة. وسمعنا ما دونه المؤلف الشارح حفظه الله على هذه الجمل المضيئة من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ونستطيع أن نقول وهو الحق إن نصوص الشرع من الكتاب والسنة كلها تربية للناس ومواعظ ووصايا، فمن بذل جهده في التعلم للعلوم الشرعية وواصل التعليم بنية خالصة ليعلم ويعمل وينشر من العلم بقدر ما يستطيع، فإنه أمانة في عنق من تحمله أن ينشره بحسب قدرته واستطاعته. فهذه النصوص فيها إرشاد وتوجيه للأمة أن يكونوا من أهل الطاعة لله ولرسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام، وذلك بامتثال الأوامر واجتناب النواهي وإحلال الحلال وتحريم الحرام، والجد والاستعداد في جمع الزاد ليوم المعاد، وهو عبادة الله تبارك وتعالى ومتابعة رسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام في الأقوال والأفعال الظاهرة والباطنة بنية خالصة وهذا الباب باب الإيمان بالقدر وانتظار الفرج مع الكرب وانتظار النصر مع الصبر وانتظار اليسر الواسع مع العسر. هذه من اتصف بها عاش عيشة هنيئة في الدنيا وفي البرزخ وفي الآخرة. والأمر كما قال المؤلف حفظه الله أن من تقرب إلى الله بفعل طاعته وترك معصيته فإنه يفرج همه وكربه وييسر أمره وينصره على كل عدو داخلي أو خارجي. فهي موعظة لنا أن نتوكل على الله تبارك وتعالى في جميع أمورنا وأن نسلم لقضاء الله وقدره مع بذل الأسباب التي لا بد منها فيما يتعلق بأمر الدين وأمر الدنيا.
الحديث ورقة واحد.
الحديث العشرون عن أبي مسعود عقبة بن عمرو الأنصاري البدري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن مما أدرك الناس من كلام النبوة الأولى إذا لم تستح فاصنع ما شئت. رواه البخاري. قال الشارح حفظه الله وهذا حديث عظيم أيضا. قال فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا لم تستح، والحياء خصلة عظيمة تمنع الإنسان من الأشياء التي لا تليق به من السفاسف والرذائل وسيء الأخلاق، فالذي يستحي يمتنع مما لا يليق لأن الحياء يمنعه، ولذلك صار الحياء من الإيمان. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. فالذي لا يستحي هذا دليل على ضعف إيمانه، والذي يستحي هذا دليل على كمال إيمانه. وقوله إذا لم تستحي فاصنع ما شئت هذا من باب التهديد، مثل قوله تعالى فمن شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر، فليس تخييرا له أن يفعل ما يشاء وإنما هو تهديد. فالحياء خصلة عظيمة يمنع الإنسان من كل رذيلة ويصونه من كل مذمة. وأما إذا فقد الحياء فهو مصيبة عظيمة. فالرجل الذي لا يستحي لا يتحاشى الكذب ولا يتحاشى سيء الأمور والسفاسف والرذائل، ولا يمتنع عن شرب الخمر والزنا والسرقة وغير ذلك. فهذا فيه الحث على الأدب والتخلق بالحياء، وفيه دليل على فضل الحياء وأنه لا يأتي إلا بخير، وأن الذي لا يستحي محروم من هذه الخصلة العظيمة، فلا يبالي بما يضره ويقدح في دينه ويقدح في مروءته ويقدح في رجولته. وهناك احتمال أن المراد إذا كان الأمر لا يستحيا من فعله فافعله إن شئت، فهو من باب الإذن لا من باب التهديد.
وهذا الحديث من الوصايا العظيمة، فيه الحث والترغيب على التخلق بخلق الحياء الشرعي. لذا كما سمعنا جاء في الحديث أن الحياء شعبة من شعب الإيمان، لأن الإيمان شعب ومنها الحياء. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الحياء لا يأتي إلا بخير، وقد ورد في حديث عبد الله بن مسعود عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال السحي من الله حد الحياء. قالوا إننا نستحي، قال: من استحيا من الله حق الحياة فليحفظ الرأس وما وعى وما حوى، فليحفظ الرأس وما وعى والبطن وما حوى، وليذكر الموت والبلاء. ومن أراد الآخرة ترك زينة الحياة الدنيا. فأساس الحياة من الله تبارك وتعالى أن تخالف أوامره وأن تقع فيما يغضبه من المعاصي على اختلاف أنواعها من أقوال وأفعال. وكذلك الجوانب الأخرى للحياة فيما يتعلق بالمعاملات مع الناس على اختلاف طبقاتهم، فهو خلق عظيم من مكارم الأخلاق ومن حسن الأدب أن يكون الرجل والمرأة من أهل الحياء الشرعي الذي يثاب فاعله. وليس من الحياء الاستحياء عن طلب العلم والجلوس في حلقاته، فمن منعه استحياؤه عن الجلوس في حلقات العلم فقد أخطأ، لأن الجلوس في حلقات العلم شرف، ويبصر الإنسان بواسطته سيره في هذه الحياة ويعلم مآله إذا قدم على الله عز وجل، وأنه سيحاسبه على القليل والكثير. وليس من الحياة السكوت عن قول الحق والأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر، بل من كمال الحياة كمال الإيمان أن يكون المسلم والمسلمة من الآمرين بالمعروف والناهين عن المنكر والداعين إلى الحق والمتواصين به، كما جاء ذلك في صريح القرآن في صفة أهل الإيمان: وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. فالحمد لله على بيان أعمال الخير وخصال البر التي جاءت واضحة في محكم القرآن الكريم والسنة المطهرة. فالبدار البدار إلى بذل الجهود في طلب العلم بكل وسيلة من الوسائل النافعة مع التوكل على الله عز وجل وحسن النية، والله يعطي من خزائن رحمته من أقبل عليه. وطلب العلم فإنه أشرف ما يقدمه الإنسان، لأنه أساس الطاعات، وبدون علم لا تصح الطاعات ولا تنفع صاحبها، فهو إمام والعمل تابعه.
يا سلام، أحسن الله إليكم. يقول السائل: هل قدر الله سبحانه وتعالى لكل شخص من تكون زوجته؟ وهل للمعصية والطاعة دور في تغيير القدر؟ هل قدر الله عز وجل أنه لكل شخص تكون له زوجة معينة في القدر؟ وهل للطاعة والمعصية دور في تغيير القدر؟
في تغيير
القدر
تغيير
أنا. المعصية والطاعة.
القدر ما جرى به القلم في الأزل لا يتغير ولا يتبدل، ولكنه لا يجوز للإنسان أن يحتج بالقدر ويترك الطاعات ويرتكب المعاصي، بل يؤمن بالقدر وأن الطاعة قد كتبت نوعها ووقتها وصاحبها، والمعاصي كذلك قد كتبت وفرغ منها وكل شيء من أمر الدين والدنيا وأمر الآخرة كل شيء قد جرى به القلم في الأزل فلا يتغير ولا يتبدل، ولكن مما جرى به القلم الأمر بالعمل، وقل اعملوا فسيرى الله عملكم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما قيل له أنا أتكل على ما كتب، قال اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له. فيجب الإيمان أن كل شيء قد فرغ منه، الطاعة والمعصية وأمر الدنيا وأمر الآخرة، كل ذلك قد كتبه الله في اللوح المحفوظ، كما قال عز وجل ما فرطنا في الكتاب من شيء، وقال سبحانه وكل شيء أحصيناه في إمام مبين. إنما الذي يجب التركيز عليه والفهم له أنه لا يجوز لأحد يحتج بالقدر ويقول ما كتب لا يتخلف فيترك العمل، يترك العمل ويقع في المعاصي والمخالفات بحجة أنه قد كتب ما كان عليه وما كان له. بل عليه الإنسان أن يجد ويجتهد، كما قال بعض الصحابة قال الآن نجتهد، لما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له. أما من كان من أهل السعادة فسييسر لأهل السعادة عمل السعادة، وأما من كان من أهل الشقاء فسييسر لعمل الشقاء.
هذا وصلى الله وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وبعد. The Sheikh said, or the son of the Sheikh said, the continuation of the previous hadith, the previous hadith which was hadith number 19. And another narration of a riwayah غير الترمذي احفظ الله تجده أمامك تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة وعلم أن ما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك وما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك وعلم أن النصر مع الصبر وأن الفرج مع الكرب وأن مع العسر يسرى. In another narration by Tirmidhi from the hadith يعني of Ibn Abbas, he said, or the Messenger ﷺ said, be mindful of Allah, be mindful of Allah, you will find him in front of you. Become acquainted with Allah in prosperity and he will become acquainted with you in adversity. Know that whatever surpassed you was not going to reach you, and whatever reached you was not going to surpass you. Know that help comes with patience, relief comes with affliction, and hardship comes with ease. So we read the explanation of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan before the explanation of Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali hafidhullah. So he said, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, he said this, or rather, he said, in the second narration, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, become acquainted with Allah in times of ease or in times of prosperity. He will know you in times of adversity. The Sheikh said, meaning that you should be close to Allah in all of your states. In every state that you're in, you should be close to Allah. in the state of prosperity and your lack of needs, do not turn away from Allah. In your situation or in a state of prosperity, do not turn away from Allah. Be close to Him by way of obedience and abandoning that which He abandoning His disobedience. Allah Ta'ala said, "Kalla innal insana layatgha." Nay, the mankind transgresses. Nay, the mankind indeed transgresses. Al ra'ahu istaghna, when he becomes wealthy or when he becomes self-sufficient. So the Sheikh said, so if the person becomes wealthy, he forgets Allah Azza wa Jal, and he believes or he assumes that he has no need in Allah. So if he becomes ill or sick, he turns to Allah. When the person becomes sick, he turns to Allah. And when he becomes healthy and is cured, then he forgets Allah. So this is a very evil state that proves that the person has a weak iman. And the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ, he will know you in the times of adversity. He will know you in the times of adversity. The Sheikh said, meaning that if you fall in danger, or if you face any dangers and any adversity, and while being obedient to Allah, or while you have shown obedience to Allah in the times of ease and prosperity, then Allah will salvage you and He will save you with your righteous actions that you have committed. Like the hadith of the people of the rock. Like the hadith of the people of the rock, who the rock covered up the entrance to the cave, or the exit to the cave, and they could not come out. They were trapped in the cave and they could not come out. And because of the righteous action that he used to have before this incident, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he relieved them from their calamity. So one of them, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he supplicated to Allah with the obedience to his parents. And the other one, he supplicated to Allah for him leaving fornication out of fear of Allah. And the last one, he supplicated to Allah for him upholding the trust, that which he was entrusted with, when the person, he left something with him and he left. So this person, he looked after this trust and he increased it by looking after it. And when he came back, this man, he gave it to him with all of the prophets, with all the prophets and everything that was added to his original trust. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted those actions from them and he relieved them from their calamity and their situation. And Allah Jalla wa'ala, he says about the people of paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the people of paradise, innahum kanu qabla dhalik. Indeed, they were before this day, or the before this day. The Shaykh said, meaning in this dunya. Muhsineen. Indeed, before this day, they used to be muhsineen. They used to be people or good doers. Kanu qalila min al-layli ma yahja'un. They were people who only sleep little at night. وَبِالْأَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And in the last parts of the night, or in the late night, they seek forgiveness from Allah. The sisters, if you please, can go to the back of the masjid. The sisters who are sitting in the near the office, if you can go to the back of the masjid, because there's space there. I know that you want to position where you can hear properly, so, but there's a speaker at the back, and inshallah you'll be able to hear from the back as well. Barakallahu fikum. Anyway, to continue, so the Shaykh said, كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they used to sleep only little at night. وَبِالْأَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And in the late parts of the night, they used to ask for forgiveness. وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. And in their wealth is a deserved share for the person who's asking, or the person who asks, the beggar, or the person who is deprived. So the Shaykh said, قَبْلَ ذَلِكُ وَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا, meaning that they were before this, before the Day of Judgment, or before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they were like this before, meaning in the dunya they were like this. They were carrying out these good deeds. And Allah Jalla wa Ala says regarding Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, sahib al-hud, the person or the person of the whale, falawla annahu kana min al-musabbihin. So if he was not from those who glorified Allah, or those who glorify Allah, the Shaykh said, meaning he was from those who used to pray and used to glorify Allah in the times of prosperity, in the times of ease. لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he was not from, he said about Yunus, if he was not from those who glorify and pray to Allah, before, then he would have remained in the stomach of the whale until the day that the people are resurrected. So Shaykh said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he saved Yunus alayhi salam due to his righteous actions, which preceded the incident of him being swallowed by the whale. So the Muslim, he knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should know Allah in the times of adversity and also in the times of prosperity. As for the disbeliever, then he only knows Allah in the times of adversity. Only he knows Allah in the times of hardship and adversity. Allah ta'ala says, وَإِذَا مَسَّكُمُ الضُّرُّ فِي الْبَحْرِ ضَلَّ مَنْ تَدْعُونَ إِلَّا إِيَّهِ. And when the harm or the difficulty faces you or befalls you while you are upon the sea, the ones who you call upon cannot help you. Except Allah. فَلَمَّا نَجَّاكُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ أَعْرَضْتُمْ. And when he saved you to the land, and he protected you from the sea, and he allowed you to be saved and reach the land, you turn away.
So the Sheikh said, so if the kuffar or the disbelievers, they face danger, then they become sincere to Allah in supplication. When they face danger, the disbelievers, they become sincere to Allah in supplication. As for the believer, then he knows Allah in every state, whether he in a state of prosperity or in a state of adversity. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلم أن النصر مع الصبر. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, know that with victory or with patience comes victory. With patience comes victory. So the Sheikh said that the person or the human being, he is tested in this life. Yes, so he is tested with pain, with difficulty, with things which he dislikes. But upon him is that which is upon him is to be patient. Yes, because the adversities they are removed or they go away. The adversities they are removed, they go away, and they do not remain forever. So the person should face the adversity with being patient upon them. The person should face the adversities with being patient upon them until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes them from him. And he should not despair or get angry. As for the person, if he despairs or gets angry, then you would find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will humiliate him even further. Yes, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disappoint him. Allah will disappoint him and will let go of him. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن الفرج مع الكرب. And with affliction comes relief. With affliction comes relief. The Sheikh said, every time whenever the affliction becomes more severe and severe, then the person should look forward to the relief. When the adversity becomes severe and severe even more, the person should always look towards the relief. And this is because the relief from Allah is near. The relief from Allah is near. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed with difficulty comes, with hardship comes ease. Indeed with difficulty comes ease. And وقال حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله ألا إن نصر الله قريب. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, until the messenger and those who are with him say, when is the victory of Allah? Verily the victory of Allah is close. Verily the victory of Allah is close. So the Sheikh said, whenever the adversity becomes severe and the hardship becomes severe, then know that the relief of Allah is near, and do not despair from the mercy of Allah. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he came out happy and joyful and while laughing, and he was saying لَنْ يَغْلِبَ عُسْرٌ يُسْرَيْن لَنْ يَغْلِبَ عُسْرٌ يُسْرَيْن فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he was joyful and he was happy, and he came out while he was laughing, and he said, the hardship or the adversity will not overcome two eases, or the adversity will not defeat or will not overcome two eases. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Allah says, indeed with hardship comes ease. Indeed with hardship comes ease. So the hardship is once. The hardship is once, because it's mentioned here with Alif Lam. It's mentioned here with Alif Lam. So it's mu'arrafa, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the hardship. He said the hardship. He didn't say hardship. He said the hardship. With the hardship comes ease. Yes? So it is one. The meaning is, when you use Alif Lam, when you say the hardship, meaning it is one. وَالْيُسْرْ مُنْكَرٌ مُكَرَرٌ مَرَّتَيْنِ يَقْتَضِ تِكْرَارٍ. And the Sheikh said, and the ease here, the word ease, it is not used. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not use Alif Lam. He did not use the. So he did not say, with the hardship comes the ease. But he said, with the hardship comes ease. Without Alif Lam, without the. This means that it necessitates that it should be repeated. The yusr is twice. The ease or the prosperity is twice, while the hardship is once, because there's alif lam. So this necessitates that it is repeated. The ease is repeated and it's continuous. And this is from the virtue and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this serves as proof that the man or the person, he should not have, or he should not despair. And he should not despair when someone or some his situation is tight, or he's facing adversity and hardship, and he should not despair from the mercy of Allah. He should always expect of Allah goodness. He should expect goodness from Allah all the time and forever. And there is nothing in this dunya that is free from difficulties and adversities. There is nothing in this life that is free from hardship and adversities. The Sheikh said, rather it is a must that everything faces adversity. Everything or everyone faces adversity.
And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أشد الناس بلاء الأنبياء ثم الأمثل فالأمثل. The people with the most or the most severe difficulty or hardship or testing are the prophets. Then those are the best of them. يعني those are the best of the people, and then those who come for them come after them in terms of goodness. يعني the best of the people are the most severe in testing or in يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala putting them to trial. So the Sheikh said, upon the person is to face all of these affairs and all of these difficulties with patience, because with patience comes victory. With patience comes victory, and with the affliction comes a relief, and with hardship comes ease. So the Sheikh said, and the difficulty or the adversity is faced with patience by way of the way you should face the hardship with patience is that you wait for the يعني ease of Allah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve you from this hardship. This is how you show patience, or this is how you demonstrate patience in the face of difficulties and adversities, is that you wait for Allah's relief. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would not abandon his slave, never. Allah would never abandon his slave. However, he tests him and he puts him to trial so that his patience and his forbearance and his faith in Allah يعني becomes apparent and becomes يعني manifest itself. So this hadith is great. The Sheikh said this hadith is a great hadith and is a great advice from the advice of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his nation, to his ummah, through this blessed young boy, meaning Ibn Abbas. So this was the Sheikh, the explanation of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan. And Sheikh Zayd Hafidhullah, he commented on this hadith as well by saying, we have heard this great hadith, this virtuous hadith, from the hadith of Ibn Abbas, which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this narration, he began by saying to this young boy, be mindful to Allah and he will be mindful to you. Be mindful to Allah and he will be mindful to you. And this this advice, the Sheikh said, is something which is general to everyone who is obliged from the jinn and the mankind, whether males or females. So this is this advice encompasses everyone. And this narration came يعني for a specific reason, or for this narration came, or this advice came as a specific advice for this young boy. However, this is also an advice for the general advice for the rest of the ummah. Even though it came specific here, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was addressing Ibn Abbas only. However, this narration is also general for the rest of the nation, for the rest of the people. And in another narration, the one we have read, when Ibn Abbas, when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Be mindful of Allah, and you will find Him in front of you. Become acquainted with Allah in prosperity, and He will become acquainted with you in adversity. Know that whatever surpassed you was not going to reach you, and whatever reached you was not going to surpass you. Know that with help comes know that help comes with patience, relief with affliction, and hardship with ease." So the Sheikh said, and we have heard what Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, may Allah preserve him, he mentioned يعني regarding this hadith, or regarding the second narration, which is يعني different wording from the first narration. And يعني this light full of يعني these advice from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we heard the commentary of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan on these statements from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which are full of light and full of guidance. And we can say and we can claim, and this would be the truth if we claim this, that all of the texts from the Quran and the Sunnah, all of them came to cultivate the people, and to provide admonition for them, and also to advise them in spending everything they can and doing their utmost into seeking knowledge and learning the knowledge or the sciences of this religion, and also to continue upon learning with a sincere intention, so that the person will acquire the knowledge, and therefore, and then after that, act upon it, and after that, spread it to the ability or to the limit that he could. So learn it, act upon it, and spread it to the people according to his ability. So all of those texts from the Quran and the Sunnah, you find in them guidance to the ummah, to the nation, that they should be from the people of obedience to Allah and His Messenger. You find in the Quran and Sunnah that the people should be or should show obedience to Allah and His Messenger, and this takes manifests itself by way of following the commands of Allah and staying away from that which he prohibited. And to call the halal affairs that Allah called and His Messenger called halal, take them as halal. And everything, yeah, permissible. And everything that Allah and His Messenger called prohibited and haram, you take them as haram and prohibited for you as well. And also to prepare yourself for the by collecting that which you need for the last day, collecting in this life that which you need for the journey, for the hereafter, for the last day. And this is by way of worshipping Allah and following His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his statement and his actions inwardly and outwardly. So obeying Allah and His Messenger by way of actions and speech inwardly or outwardly, also while having a sincere intention. And the Sheikh said, and this chapter or this field, which is the chapter of having faith in the pre-decree, the Qadr of Allah, the pre-decree of Allah, and also awaiting relief from Allah after the affliction, and also having patience until Allah grants you victory, and also achieving the ease after the hardship comes to you. The Sheikh said, whosoever beautifies himself and he adorns himself with these attributes, then he will live a happy and a blissful life in this life, in the life of the grave, and in the life of the hereafter. And it is as the statement of the author when he said that whosoever seeks closest to Allah by way of fulfilling his obedience and carrying out his obedience and leaving off that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will grant this person relief from any affliction that he faces. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve him from any stress or any affliction or any adversity that he faces, and he will make all of his affairs easy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him victory over his enemies. He will give him victory over his enemies, whether external enemies or people who are with him. So the Sheikh said, so this is an advice and this is an admonition from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that we should rely upon Allah. We should rely upon Allah in all of our affairs, and that we submit to the judgment and a decree of Allah, while of course fulfilling the means which the person cannot do without in the affairs of this religion and in the affair of this life. So the person has to fulfill the needs while relying upon Allah. Then the Sheikh moved on to the second hadith, or hadith number 21, or hadith number 20 rather. عن أبي مسعود عقبة بن عمرو الأنصاري البدري قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن مما أدرك الناس من كلام النبوة الأولى إذا لم تستحي فاصنع ما شئت. Yes, on the authority of Abi Mas'ud Uqba bin Amr al-Ansari al-Badri, he said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that indeed that which had reached the people from the speech of the earlier prophecy is that if you are not shy, then do as you wish. If you are not shy, or if you do not have any shyness, then do as you wish. This was narrated by Imam Bukhari. The explanation of Sheikh Salih Hawzan, he said, this is a great narration as well. This is also likewise a great narration. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said regarding this narration, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي, if you are not shy, or if you do not have any shyness. And the Sheikh said, and shyness is a very great attribute that prohibits the person and prevents him from anything which is not befitting or not appropriate for him to indulge in. Anything which is from the affairs which are belittled and from the evil actions and from the evil manners and etiquettes. So the person who has shyness or is shy, or the person who is shy, then he abstains from anything which is not appropriate, because his shyness prevents him from this. His shyness prevents him from anything which is not appropriate. And therefore the shyness became a part of Iman. Or shyness is one level of the levels of faith, Iman. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم والحياء شعبة من شعب الإيمان. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said that shyness is a branch or is a level from the levels of Iman. So the person who is not shy, then this is this proves his deficiency or his weakness in his Iman, in his belief. And likewise, the one who is shy or who has shyness, then also this is a proof that this is a proof for the perfection of his Iman or for the completion of his Iman. وقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا لم تستحي فاصنع ما شئت. And the statement of the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم in a narration where he said, if you are not shy then do as you wish, if you are not shy then do as you wish. The sheikh said this is يعني a way of threatening. This is a way of threatening. Like the statement of Allah Ta'ala when he said, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. This is a threat from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or threatening or admonition. Like the statement of Allah when he said, so whosoever wishes, let him believe, and whosoever wishes, let him disbelieve. So the Shaykh said, so this is not an option. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, he's not giving us the option, whether believe or disbelieve. Yes, it's a way of admonition. Yes, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give us the option here to do as we wish. Rather, it is an admonition and it is a threat. So the Shaykh said, so therefore, the shyness is from the from the great attributes which prevent the person from every evil action, and it protects his honor, and also it protects him from any يعني, blame. It prevents any blame, or it protects the person from any or being يعني, blameworthy. As for if the shyness was missing or was deprived of the person, then this is a calamity. This is a great calamity if the person does not have any shyness. So the person or the man who is not shy, then you would find that this man, he does not avoid lying. Yes? So the man who is not shy, you would find that he does not avoid lying. And also he does not avoid يعني, the belittled affairs. Any action which is belittled and looked or frowned upon from the people, you would see that this person, he would not avoid any of these actions. And also, if he does not have any shyness, you would find him that he does not stay away from drinking alcohol, or fornicating, or stealing. All of this because why? He does not have any shyness. And other than that, the Sheikh said. So in this hadith, is an encouragement to have etiquettes and to adorn yourself with shyness. And also, in this hadith is a proof for the virtue of shyness. In this hadith is a proof for the virtue of shyness, and that shyness does not bring anything except goodness. In this hadith also in this narration is also a proof that shyness only brings about goodness, and that the person who is not shy, then he is a person who is deprived. He is deprived from this great attribute. And you'd find that this person who is deprived of this great attribute, he does not care. He does not care about what harms him or what does not harm him, or he does not care about what affects and undermines his religion or undermines his manhood. Yes, he undermines his manhood. So you'd find this person, he does not care about any of those. So he does any action. And the Sheikh said, and there's a possibility that the intent behind this hadith or the meaning behind this hadith is that anything which the people are not, or anything which the, يعني, any action which the people do not feel shy from doing, then if you wish, you can do it. Any action, the Sheikh said, there's a possibility that the meaning of this hadith is that any action which the people do not find, يعني, that it contradicts shyness, then if you wish, you can do it. So the Sheikh said, فهو من باب الإذن, يعني, it is from the perspective of granting permission. Permission that if it is not, or if it does not contradict shyness, then if you wish, you can do it. And the Sheikh said, لا من باب التهديد, يعني, not from the angle of threatening. يعني, this is another possibility of interpreting this hadith. Yes, and the explanation of Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, may Allah preserve him, he said, and likewise, this hadith is also from the great advice of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in it you find encouragement and calling towards beautifying yourself with the legislated manners, and therefore we have, or for that reason we have heard that the haya or the shyness is a branch or is a level from the levels of iman, from the levels of faith, because faith or belief is of different branches or different levels, and shyness is one of them. Shyness is one of them, and also the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna al-haya la yati illa bi khair, that indeed shyness does not bring about except goodness. And also the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, when he said, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, feel shy or show shyness towards Allah as he deserves. Show shyness towards Allah as he deserves. So the companions, they said, we are shy towards Allah. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a translation of the meaning that whosoever is shy from Allah, then let him be shy
يعني in regards to his head and that which is included in his head, and on also let him be shy in that which is in his, يعني in relation to his stomach and what he includes or what contain what his stomach also contains. يعني be shy from Allah in every way. So shyness towards Allah, having shyness towards Allah, is by way of abandoning or staying away from any action of disobedience towards him, whether action, whether speech or actions. And likewise, having shyness, يعني, in that which is in relation to the dealings with the people. When you deal with the people also, you should have or should implement shyness. So it is a great attribute. It is a great attribute from the most noble attributes. This shyness is a great attribute from the most noble of attributes. And the Sheikh said, and it is in relation or it is in regards to the man and the woman. It is for the man and the woman to be shy, not just the woman, but the man and the woman. So they should be from the people of shyness, the legislated shyness. The Sheikh said, the legislated shyness, which the person is rewarded for. The legislated shyness, which the person is rewarded for. And he said, may Allah preserve him, he said that it is not from shyness that the person, he is shy from attending the circles of knowledge. Or يعني, it is not from shyness, or it is not from the legislated shyness that the person is shy from learning and seeking knowledge and sitting in the gatherings of knowledge. So whosoever his shyness prevents him from sitting in gatherings of knowledge and seeking knowledge, then this person should know that he is mistaken, that this is not shyness, or this is not legislated shyness. Because with knowledge, the person knows his Lord. With acquired knowledge, the person becomes well acquainted of his with his Lord, and that Allah and his, and that his Lord will account him, will hold him to account. He will hold him to account, and he will hold him to account in relation to anything, يعني, whether little or large, anything that a person does, whether little or large, his Lord will account him. So you know this by way of knowledge, by way of seeking knowledge. This is how you become acquainted with your Lord and with the fact that your Lord will hold you to account with everything that you have done in your life. And also the Sheikh said, likewise, another example, it is not from shyness or it is not from the legislated shyness that the person remains silent about the evil. When he sees some evil, and he, يعني, it is not from the shyness that he remains silent about it. Rather, he should speak about his evil and change it. Yes? And also, rather, it is from the completion of the Muslim of the Islam of the a person, is that when he sees an evil, he changes it. He advises the person who is committing this evil to stop doing it. And also that the Sheikh said, it is from the perfection of one's shyness and one's Islam, is that he becomes from those who command the good and forbid the evil. And also from those who call towards patience and encourage and patience and enjoin each other upon patience and upon the truth, as mentioned in Surah Al-Asr, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Except those who believe, except those who believe and do righteous deeds and enjoin each other with patience or and the truth. They enjoin each other with the patience and with the truth. So the Sheikh says, so we all praise is due to Allah for clarifying for us all the actions of khair, all the actions of goodness, or all the good actions, and the attributes, or the beautiful attributes as well, which came يعني, clear in the Quran and the Sunnah, which we find they are clear in the Quran and the Sunnah, those attributes and those righteous actions. So the Sheikh said, we should rush and hasten towards seeking knowledge in every way possible. Yes, and by every mean possible, while of course relying upon Allah and having the correct intention and the sincere intention. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives from His mercy to the one, يعني, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He bestows His mercy upon the one who comes towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he starts seeking knowledge, because knowledge is from seeking knowledge is from the most noblest of things. From the most noble or the virtues of actions that the person can put forward for himself, because it is the basis for everything else. Knowledge is the basis for all other types of obedience, all other types of good actions, all types of obedience. Knowledge is the basis for them, and without the knowledge, then the actions are not correct, or the person cannot know if his actions are correct or not. So the knowledge, or seeking the knowledge, is Imam al-Ta'at. It is the leader of all types of obedience, all types of obedience and good actions, knowledge or seeking knowledge is the leader of all of them, or is the head of all of them. Now, so that was the conclusion of the dars, of the lesson. And one question was asked to the Sheikh about someone, يعني, does every person have one person that is decreed for him to marry? Does every person have one person only for him decreed to marry? And does his good doing or evil doing change this decree? Does his evil doing or good doing change this decree? The Sheikh said that the decree of Allah, or the pre-decree of Allah, is that which the pen wrote. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created the pen. So which the pen wrote, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing he created the pen, and he told it to write everything that is going to be. Yes, so the Sheikh said everything until the end of time is written. And it is written, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already decreed it, and he already knows it. And it will not change. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for the person, it will not change. And everything that is written by the pen and it was decreed, it will not change. However, the Sheikh said, it is not permissible for any person to use this, argument and say that I will not obey Allah, or I will not pray, and I will not do good deeds, or, and I will not avoid the evil deeds and evil sins, because everything is decreed anyway. Yes, so the Sheikh said it is not permissible for anyone to use this argument to say that it is decreed anyway, so why should I obey Allah? The Sheikh said it is not permissible to do that, and the obedience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had already decreed it, and he had written it down, the type of obedience, the time of obedience, and also the person of the obedience, the person of the good deed. All of this is written, and likewise the sins. All of the sins and the evil doing is also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it, and it is written. Yes, and everything from the affairs of the religion and affairs of this worldly life, and from the affairs of the day of judgment, is also decreed and is written. Yes, so everything is written by the pen, and it would not be changed, and it would not be exchanged. So the Sheikh said, and also from that which was decreed by Allah and the pen was ordered to write, is the commandment of carrying out actions, carrying out good deeds. This is also from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed, and he told the pen to write, the commandment of rushing towards doing good actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقُولُ عِمَلُوا فَسَيَرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Say act or follow, implement righteous deeds, or carry out righteous deeds, for indeed Allah will see your righteous deeds. For indeed Allah will see your righteous deeds. And also the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when they asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why do we act, or why do we do good deeds when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already decreed everything? Yes? So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, اعملوا فكلم ميسروا لما خلق له. He said, act and do the good deeds, because every person, his actions which he was created for, it will be made easy for him. His actions which he was created for, or which he will implement, will be made easy for him. And so the Sheikh said, it is a must that we have faith and belief in everything, that everything is decreed already, is done. Everything is decreed. And also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he decreed everything in Lawh al-Mahfuz, in a preserved log. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَا فَرَّضْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We did not neglect anything in the book. We did not neglect anything. We did not neglect mentioning in the book anything. Everything is mentioned. However, the Sheikh said, we have to concentrate upon the point where it is not permissible to say that everything is decreed, so I will not do good deeds. This is not permissible, the Sheikh said. It's not permissible for the person to abandon the good deeds and fall into the sins and say everything is decreed. This is not allowed. Just like the Sahaba, but Sheikh said, however, rather the person should strive his hardest and his utmost to achieving the good deeds and pleasing Allah. Like the Sahaba, the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said to them, act. Because everyone will be, his actions will be made easy for him. The ones, that which was made easy for him will be accessible to him. So act. So the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after hearing that, they said, now we have to strive, and now we have to try our hardest. After the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, so they said, now we strive and we try our hardest. So whosoever was from the people of happiness, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will make the actions of the people of happiness easy for him and accessible for him. And whosoever is from the people, or is decreed for him, he's from the people of misery, based on his actions of course, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make easy for him and will make accessible for him the actions of the people of sadness and misery. نعم هذا وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.